Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello, welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name is Peter Howard, at PA Howdy on Twitter. This is a member of the DLF family of podcasts, DynastyLeagueFootball.com, in case you don't like the acronym. Welcome back. This is part three of our conversation with Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummies podcast and Jacob Rickrode, formerly of RotoViz. In this In this podcast, me, Jacob, and Zach are going to talk about running back trends, what we look at, what we don't, what we think is valuable, and what is the state of our current running back situation in fantasy football and who we're targeting, and what we see coming in the near future. And we also talk about Green Bay and who we think might or might not be a value for the 2022 season and why. Hope you're enjoying it. This is probably the second last part of this conversation I'm going to drop. Again, let me know what you think at PA Howdy on Twitter. Zach is at TacitAssassin13 on Twitter, and Jacob is ClutchFantasy on Twitter. If you want to talk to any of us, that's where you'll find us the easiest. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much, and see you in a second when I'm talking to Zach and Jacob.
Do you have the time to listen to me grind? Take down the film watchers and nerds all at once. I am one of those. Skeptical of status quo, Bayesian to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I grind my Excel sheets, sometimes pour cold water on heat. When the math's not adding up, you bet I'm checking it out. I'm in party, welcome to the grind.
And then you'll have good running backs, both reception-wise and the number of carries. When you hit 2013, 2011, 2012, the number of carries of running backs really declined. I think the usage in carries, like you don't see the 400 carries anymore. You're seeing 330, 340. I know Derrick Henry had 300 and whatever it was, 70 or 80 a couple years ago. But
that's different.
For the most part, you're seeing the carries down, but you're still seeing these the really discernible peaks and valleys. And I think we're still in that peak of that Zeke coming in 2016, the McCaffrey class in 2017, and the Barkley class. I don't think there's been anybody that unseats them. And we've been talking about it for the past few years, since 2019, about the saturation of running backs in the NFL. Well, the saturation means there are some really good running backs. And it was a set of like three classes in a row. And even if you want to talk Gurley and Gordon, and I mean, they were okay, but there was 2016 with Zeke, 2017 with McCaffrey and that grew, and then 2018 with Barkley. Man, there are some horses there.
That's the thing, though. Like the Cam Akers clicks, and the DeAndre Swift and the Jonathan Taylor. That's where I was with them, especially after their first year. I was like, you got to remember, these are second year running backs between the likely best class of the last era and the one to come. Like, these are good running backs, but Jonathan Taylor had a great season last year. He's a great running back, but if you measure him against the running backs was actually idolizing him to, he's like mediocre to bad. Like, that was not great.
Like, he only had that 40 was not great.
That's it. That's the one, Jacob. It's the receptions.
He only had 40. And then we were used to Barkley and McCaffrey.
McCaffrey with 107 and 116 back-to-back years. Yeah.
Right. So that was the thing. And I just agree with everything you said. Like, 2016 with Zeke and Henry. 2017 was like Fournette, McCaffrey, Aaron Jones. Who else is in that? James Hunt. Connor is in that class.
Kamara. Hunt and Kamara.
Kamara, yeah, just loaded, right? And then, but we had that huge lull from like 2012 to 2015, which was just dog crap. Like Lamar Miller and Alfred Morris were like two of the best running backs of that block, you know. And then we had the tees of Gurley and Le'Veon Bell that just didn't make it past 26, which was the tees, right? And Doug Martin and Zach, or the guy in help me out, Eddie Lacy. Yeah. Those guys were like flash in the pans, right? You know, Trent Richardson was like the ultimate tease. Like everybody was on him, and he was gone. So we went through that lull, and then now we got this 2017 class, the 2018, 2019. It's coming back. And I think the league is desperate for these kind of players. That's why Mark Ingram is still in the league. That's why Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson were still playing like a year ago. Like, come on. Like,
It's so distinct when you look at more than a 10-year or a 3-year sample size that it's about the draft class where running back production gets explained, not the year or how far a player's career is going, or that Jonathan Taylor is about to take off like Christian McCaffrey. He's not. We expect players to develop into roles when really they're expected to be that the minute they get to the NFL. Yeah. And if they're not, they're not. You've pretty much seen it. But once you dig back, like I said, into a 20-year sample size, it's really remarkable how the top 12 is basically defined by one, maybe a couple of years drafted very close together. And then you have just good running backs between, because you're going to have good running backs in a class or two here or there, but they don't become part of that era's main producers. And I think it's partly because of the way running back production and volume can be so controlled by a team. I'm not sure, and this is something I was talking about Zach with before you got here, Jacob, and I'm not sure how much of it is those are the most talented players and how much of it is the NFL just picks up the running backs it wants and then uses them for the next 10 years. And they find other good running backs between, sure, but they're always going to default to their guys. And it's the Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley class right now. And Jonathan Taylor and maybe Swift, maybe Akers and Dobbins are interesting pickups along the way. But we've got 3 more years before they get close to the end of those period of running back careers. It's actually striking when you look at it that way, how similar running back and wide receiver is, by the way. I've really been looking for that in career history, because I know running backs meant to have shorter, less productive careers in the second half. But honestly, in terms of draft class, the career arc is similar. You've got an 8-year career arc.
If they're elite, right?
Yeah.
If they're truly elite.
Yeah, we're talking about the guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
And it's a lot more messy, but
we've seen running backs that like took a few years off and then came back. You know, the one example I love is D'Angelo Williams. He put up a 306 point season in his third year and doesn't do squat because he was playing in that Carolina offense with what's his name? Who's the head coach of Washington?
Stewart.
Rivera.
Rivera, yeah. Right? And like they never threw to D'Angelo Williams. He was such a good pass catcher. And then
they had that other guy. I remember this because it was such a mind, like I didn't know what was going on. Because I started playing Dynasty around that time when they had that tandem with two great running backs. It was Jonathan Stewart, right?
Yep, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams.
And to me, they were just this tandem backfield of below average. That's all I knew of them. And then Williams separated off and became this top five. I was like, what's going on?
At 32. You're 32 years old. I'm like, what, did he get more talented? No.
After that, I was like, what's going on? And so the Dynasty podcast started going back to their rookie evaluations and explaining how both were top-level prospects that just got stuck together for some reason. I was like, wow, that's weird. And anyway,
And they didn't throw to running backs, you know, for years. I actually, when McCaffrey went to Carolina, I was pissed because I'm like, Cam's going to steal touchdowns. He's not going to dump it off to him, you know, and obviously that didn't happen. Cam did dump it off to him, but I was mad because I watched so many years of D'Angelo Williams and Stewart in that Ron Rivera where they just didn't use them, right? And then one of my other favorite examples is Ricky Williams was like 5 years in between top 12 seasons, five or six. Remember he retired and then he came back? And it was like same thing, like 31, 32 years old. He put up 252 points. It was awesome. So I don't know. To me, there's value in Dynasty with some of these aging guys where people leave them for dead. I'll never forget. I think it was 2016. I drafted DeMarco Murray like in the 9th round of a startup. And that was the year he was sharing with Henry. when Henry first got drafted, and he just crushed, you know. Yeah. He had like 1300 yards, something ridiculous. And people had just written him off, right? Cause he was 28 years old and he's coming off a bad year in Philadelphia. Yeah. You can have guys can have off seasons and still come back. I think that's the hardest.
There's an interesting line for me to ask you about and to learn, because you train to play that every year, right? It's always the aging veterans that are underrated and you go for them. Whereas I'm much more susceptible to where the season in front of me is going to be. Like this year, I expect that's where the best values are going to be because they're all underrated and the likely breakouts are, you know, pretty well valued. Whereas last year, I was kind of looking for those year three breakouts, not the aging vets. So do you ever adjust to where you think the season's going or where you think player trends are going or something like that? Or is it just always the aging vets for you?
No, I mean, I definitely take shots, you know, because we have to, right? So I'm drafting rookies in these underdog drafts. I just try not to go overboard, you know, and try to get a nice balance. But man, there's nothing sweeter when those old elite players show up again. You know, it's awesome. Like with Larry Fitzgerald, I mentioned earlier. And I think Matt Ryan's going to have a pretty solid year this year. You know, that's a guy that people have left for dead. I think in Superflex, he could be decent. We'll see. But it just, I feel like that's the Achilles heel, is especially on Twitter, people are so into sexy, right? And who's the next Gabe Davis, right? I can't even say that because he hasn't got there. You know what I mean?
Who's the next Debo is probably sexy, actually.
Yeah. And so when I see Ezekiel Elliott going like running back 17, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to kick the tires. Because he's the kind of profile that could bounce back in year six. I mean, how many top 12 years has he had? Five straight? Four? Yeah. Something like that? Ridiculous, right? So,
I'm interested in that. Like, do you guys ever adjust? Because I don't know about your dynasty life, but I only have like so much value on a team. And I find it difficult to get all the players that I want because the players in my league won't trade them, or they won't trade them for the players that I have. And I rarely have picks left. So what I started doing is trying to attack areas of value that I think are particularly interesting for a career year. Like right now, I'm looking at my I don't think my teams are in a great chance to really attack this year, which is actually a good year for it, but apart from maybe one or two. And I keep thinking, but I hate doing it. This is like not wanting to get players you don't like, but there's a reason to do it. Like I think running backs, like 2022, you should go after running back. Like this year, we should see a bounce back at running backs. Value will jump up immediately because running backs will be back. And right now we're coming off so much good young wide receiver production. It feels like the running backs are all a little bit more valuable or less valuable. If you're trying to win in 2022 and you've only got so much value and you're not particularly good at trades, I think throwing it at running back is probably I love the veteran wide receivers, but if you're throwing all your value at trying to get, I don't know that's the winning edge this year. I think it might be
running. This is a really interesting year to play Dynasty in established leagues because I'm noticing that there are more people trying to tank than normal because you've got the 2023. I get that. But because there are more people trying to tank, it means that more people are selling at value those running backs, the Zeke, the Fournette, that even Derrick Henry. So you're able to compete and compete hard in 2022 for less than what you would normally pay to compete. And so like my home league, I started off, I thought I was selling. I thought I was selling out because I finished near the back of the league last year, but I had some injuries. I had traded I traded Zeke in season to get Derrick Henry in a 23 first because the guy
Derrick
that I traded
Henry's
to was
great value, right?
Yeah. So I traded him because Henry was injured and the guy I traded him to was competing. Well, I got to the draft and I was like, all right, I want to trade my running backs. I had Barkley and I had Henry. I'm like, I want to trade my running backs. I traded Nick Chubb for a first and I got to the draft and nobody wanted to trade for my running backs, but I could go trade with the guy who I traded Zeke to and get Zeke back for less than what I paid for Zeke. I can go. Yeah, and I can go and get Fournette for next to nothing because there was another team that wasn't competing. So now all of a sudden I thought I was tanking, but my running back core is now Barkley, Zeke, Derrick Henry, and Fournette. I'm not tanking anymore. Like, right. Here we go, full steam ahead.
And I realize I took it slightly off the points that you were interested in and kind enough to come by and talk, but I don't think – it kind of is not. It's like you were saying, this year, the 2017 running backs, Barkley, CMC, Derrick Henry, I think, belongs in that conversation. Zeke,
yeah,
like, it feels like a bad year to go throw your value at running backs, but I think it might be a good – Breece Hall, like, the idea of targeting the best running back in a rookie class in a down running back sounds like a bad idea, but – I think he's going to be one of those in-between running backs who's going to do well, even on the Jets.
Yeah,
I think he's good. I think it fits. Like, the fact that running backs right now are a little undervalued and that the 2017 class is probably not dead, and Zeke is being he's a dead zone running back now, right?
Yes. Speaking of dead zone. I remember
your tweet about that one.
Gibson is a dead zone running back. He's just, like, running back 23, 24.
Right. I'd much rather him than like Cam Akers or Swift. Like, it's the same thing, right?
I mean, I know, but it's Ron Rivera, so they're not throwing him. They're throwing him and kissing. But now he's become a value, I feel like. And then the other one that I this is hard to admit, but I'm on Clyde Edwards. He's so cheap.
Yes.
And he had a gallbladder surgery or issue last year. He lost like 40 pounds. Did you read about that?
Yeah.
He was legit off. He lost 40 pounds. He was like 160 pounds. He was like
Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders both being drafted outside the top 24 blows my mind. It's like how
in these starting drafts, I can't help myself every time I see Clyde because I'm like, this could be the year he has 60 receptions, right? Like, this is the Andy Reid. It's not going to be Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones can't catch to save his ass, right?
Like, normally, that's the kind of idea I'd make fun of, but it's so adjusted for. It's like, if it does, like, it's fine. Like, if he just does what he's been doing, it's fine.
And I got him Dylan's for a late second in one of my drafts, and I was like, I'll take it. It's worth the roll of the dice, right?
I did the same thing. And it's like, why not?
You said Dylan, but Aaron Jones is like, Aaron Jones is
I'm
a guy
waiting for people for to bail on nothing, Aaron Jones.
And he's still going to be the running back one there.
He's going to have like so many receptions. Yeah. I mean, if you've seen the splits without Adams, it's nuts.
Well, and
I've been waiting for everyone to remember that he's smaller than AJ Dillon and that he's old. And like, I've sent out those second round picks for Aaron Jones and I'm not getting them.
He's top 10 on Underdog. You're not sneaking anything past anybody there.
Not sneaking. Nope.
If you look at the red zone targets last year in Green Bay, obviously it was Davante Adams was way up. And then it was Randall Cobb, and then it was Aaron Jones out of the backfield. Like, I think he's
the answer to who is the receiver in Green Bay.
I was looking at Mike Clay's projection for Green Bay. He still has Aaron Rodgers throwing for 35 touchdowns. But there's like – it's all spread around. Like, if you look at it, like, they're all like 600 yards apiece. So Lazard – Christian, what's his last name? Williams, Christian Watson. It's like all spread out across Sammy Watkins.
It's going to be Tonyan with like 14 touchdowns this year. He's going to have like 400 yards, 38 catches, and 12 touchdowns.
I think I'd rather bet on Aaron Rodgers having his first top 12 instead of top 5 season than any of those wide receivers getting inside the top 24. Like, I know that strongly disagree with me there.
I think
it'll spread. I think that's more likely than any of those guys co-opting enough volume to do it. But I mean,
Romeo Dubs for life.
And none of them are being overdrafted, so it's fine, to be fair. But like, if I was forced, but I'm not being forced to by ADP, so I'm just going to back out of this take real slow.
All right, so Lazard. We need a Lazard take, Peter, because he's undrafted. He's, 26, 27 years old? He hasn't, quote-unquote, I've been told he can't earn targets. He hasn't earned targets. That's why he's no good. But Gabe Davis has. So where are you on Lazard? He's like 44, 45-ish.
I saw that tweet of yours too, and I really wanted Lazard to pop up in common breakout store to look like Jordy Nelson or something. And he just, it feels like MVS. Like, he should have done it the last 2 years if he could do it. Like, there was not a lot of reason not to do it. And he hasn't. So I kind of don't think, that's why I'm on kind of Rodgers. I'd rather think Rodgers just a little bit less. And the offense is spread a little bit more. And Aaron Jones is the better target in Green Bay right now. Maybe Dylan, because, you know, he's in the right career year. He's in the same place Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in terms of breakouts, actually.
Yeah.
No, but that's my Lazard take. I want it to happen. And right now, he's drafted so low, it's fine. But I've honestly, I was looking at it the other day. I've got more Romeo Dubs in underdog than I've got Alan Lazard. Because Alan Lazard in baseball, people are aware of the upside. And they just take him before it gets to me.
Yeah, so he's, like I said, 45 range. I don't know what to do with him, but I'm picking him up here and there. I got him like in the fourth round of a rookie draft. I'm like, hey, why not? You know,
yeah,
like, fourth round of a rookie draft. So we'll see. But let's talk about Justin Fields. So this is all you too, Peter, with your wide receivers matter to quarterbacks.
Okay. Right.
He has Mooney. Okay, well, Mooney's fine. Yeah. He's fine, right? He's not an alpha, but
I think he could. The hope for him is he like Deontay Johnson's his way into the top 12. Like, I really think that's possible for Mooney.
I think so.
But
too.
It's, yeah, it's rough.
But past Mooney, you got Byron Pringle. Okay, absolutely not. Like,
you know, like Cole Kmet,
Equanimeous St. Brown could do nothing with Rodgers, right? Like, he had not even 200 yards. Okay, and then they have Dante Pettis. That's their starting lineup, right?
They're really not trying, are they?
Crazy here. But like, that is horrible, right? It's like, how many receivers got better after they left Rodgers and Mahomes too? You know, so it's not like Pringle's going to suddenly show up. But he's 29. He's not young. He's 29 years old.
He's younger than Velus Jones.
Okay, let's talk about him too. 6 years he was in college. He was in college for 6 years. I'm not even a big breakout guy, but come on, 6 years?
I just think of all the learning.
The Tommy boy. A lot of people go to school for 6 years. Yeah, they're called doctors.
And I think Fields is an incredible athlete, but you got a guy who the knock on him coming in was he held on to the ball too long. And what happened to him last year? He got crushed. He had 9 sacks in one game. Okay. They really didn't help him out. They got a bunch of scrub receivers. It's not like they're going to get open so he can get the ball out quick. Like, how bad he's going to have to run for 800, 900 yards to really live up to his value, because I just don't see the touchdowns there. I think he could average like less than 200 yards a game because it's just going to be so bad. So I'm on your side with the whole wide receivers do matter. When it comes to that, like, Justin Fields pass catchers look god awful. And if Mooney goes down, they're screwed. And to me, like, just looking from the outside, it looks like they set him up to fail this year so they can bail on him. Like,
honestly, I don't have a lot of strong quarterback takes, but I don't see how the Bears aren't just writing off Justin Fields, rightly or wrongly. Cause I honestly thought he'd look like a good profile as far as I could tell. And he doesn't deserve to be, nothing he's done has proven he's not good. But the Bears just seem like they've done nothing. Like,
Jack, what do you think? Just
give up.
Yeah, I mean, and I had, so I thought, well, I thought that entire quarterback class was going to be pretty good. I mean, you had Lawrence, you had Fields, who are both, you watch them play and you're like, all right, this is a pretty good 1-2. But then they end up in, again, I mean, I don't think Jacksonville has done many favors either. I think both of these guys are in.
I look at Jacksonville, though. I'd rather have Marvin Jones. I'd rather have Christian Kirk. Mooney's better, I guess, but depth wise, LaViscus, he's no worse than Kmet. I mean, come on.
They got
Evan Engram, who's solid. They got Travis.
He gets targets.
So like, it's still a better offense. Like, they made moves, at least. Did they overpay?
Yeah.
You know, so, but is Christian Kirk serviceable? I think so. You know,
to me, again, I'm not an NFL guy. I'm not a football guy, but if you put me in charge of a team with a young quarterback, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna get him a pass catching running back. I'm going to get him a tight end, and I'm going to get him a slot receiver who gets open quick. And we're going to let him grow that way. And Chicago has done the opposite. I mean, I like Montgomery's going to be another top 24 guy again. He'll be fine.
You're going to have to, because you can't throw it to Pringle the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be another 50-60 catch season for Montgomery, but that's what you need to do. And they haven't done that. I think the best thing they could do for Fields is slide Mooney inside and let him be that quick release and just pepper him with targets. But I don't know if they'll do that, because
the thing. I don't know. I can even go all the way. Like, the Jets have tried. The Jets are surrounded that. Like, I love Elijah Moore. I think Garrett Wilson's pretty good. Breece Hall's the best running back in this draft class. Like, there's talent they've added there. And I can't bring myself to believe in Zach Wilson.
No, but this will give him the best chance to succeed. He's got the best chance to succeed out of any of the quarterbacks in that class.
Ugh.
In terms of, like, not his own talent, but the surrounding talent.
Yeah. I think Mac Jones will be fine. I mean, on paper, it doesn't look great. But again, you'd rather have the depth.
He processes, though. That was the thing with Jones. So
I like Mac Jones a lot. That's the one I want.
When I did the quarterback evaluations, and everybody dumped on me because I had Mac Jones ahead of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's got arm talent to spare. Like, you see him make a play, and it looks like he'll throw off his back foot for 40 yards like Favre used to. And that's all well and good. But when you watch him play and you watch, game after game after game, he doesn't hit his receivers in stride. So his receivers are always coming back for the ball or, lunging for the ball. Whereas Jones doesn't have a great arm. He's not a great deep ball guy. And we saw him in the playoffs this past year where he threw a 40-yard touchdown that was intercepted. Like, it was like he threw it and you're like, yes, that he's wide open in the end zone, and the safety came all the way across from the other hash and picked the ball because Mac Jones just – but what Mac Jones does do well is those little, 12-yard slants, and he puts the ball right on the receiver and lets the receiver make a play after. And I much prefer that type of quarterback to the guy who will, make the play that everybody's excited about, but then have four plays that are just, you're pulling your hair. Well, I don't pull my hair out, but if I had hair, I'd be pulling my hair out.
I find it interesting the rumors that Shanahan wanted Mac Jones, and they made him take Trey Lance, because Shanahan also picked Kirk Cousins, right? And Mac Jones is definitely more Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of that too, right? I mean, he's very accurate, 67%, but doesn't have the huge arm, not sexy, right? Just like you said. So I don't know. I find that very interesting. So let's keep going in that division though with Chicago. So Detroit is loaded on paper. They have Swift. They have DJ Chark, who, Peter, you got to like him. He hit top 24.
I don't have to like him at all.
All right. They got ARSB, who had they had 90 catches last year. You got Hawkinson. On paper, they're not that bad. And like, if you look at them versus Chicago, there's like no comparison, right? They're loaded compared to Chicago. So, and I don't think that Goff is just – god awful, right? He's
not relatively the team's well set. He can be slightly below average, and I think Amon-Ra St. Brown can help out a lot. And like I said, Hawkinson's pretty good. I mean, teams are lucky to get two pretty good catches.
But you look at that surrounding cast. What do you have? You got pass catching running back. You got a really good slot receiver, and you got a tight end. That is the recipe for and Goff's not young anymore, but a young. Or a quarterback who struggles, like that's the recipe.
They drafted the stud receiver,
Jameson Williams. Yep.
So, look, he's not going to be well or healthy this year, but he'll at some point he's going to show up. That team looks pretty good, I think.
They're just waiting to draft a quarterback now. Like that's literally what they're doing. They're like put everything in place, and they're like, yep.
I'll keep drafting Goff in best ball in Superflex because he'll do it here and there, you know.
Well, and he's going to have games, especially if you're playing basketball, he's going to have games where they just like light teams.
Yeah, we're really not expecting much out of Detroit projection-wise, rank-wise as well. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, that's probably about all we have time for in this episode. I really appreciate you checking it out. Again, you can hit me up on Twitter at PA Howdy, Zach at TacitAssassin13, and Jacob is at Clutch Fantasy. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. We really did. And I'll see you again in the next one. Thanks very much. Bye.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the place, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got their in lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, they got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the place, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the place, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.